Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The 38 Letters from J.D. Rockefeller to His Son, compiled by G. G is a short business and personal development book presented as a collection of letters from John D. Rockefeller to John D. Rockefeller Jr. Its subject is not a full biography of the Standard Oil founder, but a distilled set of reflections on ambition, discipline, money, judgment, and family responsibility. The book belongs to the tradition of advisory correspondence and success philosophy, using the intimate form of parental counsel to express practical rules for achievement. Its purpose is to show how Rockefeller understood work, risk, strategy, reputation, and wealth across a lifetime shaped by industrial competition and public controversy. Readers should approach it less as a comprehensive historical document and more as a compact manual of attributed principles. Its value lies in the way business ideas are connected to character formation, moral restraint, and long-term stewardship, rather than presented only as techniques for profit. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, achievement is treated as disciplined conduct rather than inherited advantage. A central theme of the book is that achievement begins with conduct repeated over time. The letters emphasize industry, perseverance, thrift, punctuality, and self-control as practical foundations for advancement. This is important because the advice does not frame success as a single insight or sudden opportunity. It presents achievement as the cumulative result of reliable habits under pressure. The implication is that a person builds capacity before major opportunities appear, and that preparation often matters more than favorable starting conditions. The book repeatedly connects ambition with restraint, suggesting that desire without discipline produces waste, impatience, and poor judgment. This reflects a 19th-century commercial ethic in which reputation, credit, and personal reliability were inseparable from business prospects. The son is not merely being encouraged to become wealthy. He's being instructed to become the kind of person who can carry responsibility without being ruled by comfort or vanity. The practical lesson is conservative, but durable character is not separate from performance because decisions about money, work, and people reveal the structure of personal discipline. Secondly, wealth is presented as a responsibility that requires stewardship and restraint. The letters place unusual emphasis on the moral burden of wealth. Rockefeller is presented not only as a businessman seeking advantage, but as a father warning that money can distort judgment if it is treated as an end in itself. The book links wealth to stewardship, philanthropy, and legacy, which is consistent with the public image Rockefeller later cultivated through large-scale giving. This theme matters because it changes the meaning of financial success. Money becomes a test of proportion, whether a person can use resources without being possessed by them, support useful institutions, and preserve family responsibility across generations. The advice also implies that inherited wealth can weaken character when it removes struggle, prudence, and accountability. In this sense, the letters speak to a problem common to wealthy families and founders: how to transfer not only assets but values. The book does not offer a technical philanthropy framework, but it does present a clear principle. Wealth should enlarge duty, not excuse self-indulgence, and the legitimacy of fortune depends partly on how it is managed after it is acquired. Thirdly, strategic flexibility is favored over rigid planning. One of the more distinctive business lessons associated with the book is the contrast between flexible strategy and fixed planning. The letters present the idea that a plan can fail because it is built around known conditions that may change before action is completed. Strategy, by contrast, is broader and more adaptive. It sets direction while allowing methods to shift. The fisherman and angler comparison captures this distinction. The angler depends on one carefully chosen point, while the fisherman casts a wider net and creates more options before choosing the best result. The reasoning is practical rather than abstract. In competitive markets, a single path can become blocked by price shifts, rivals, regulation, supply problems, or timing. A leader who has generated several possible routes is less likely to panic when one route closes. The book, therefore, presents opportunity as something partly created by range. Focus remains necessary, but the focus is on the desired outcome rather than loyalty to the first method. This makes the advice relevant to entrepreneurs, investors, and managers who must act amid uncertainty. Fourthly, the letter format turns business instruction into family formation. The form of the book is significant. Instead of presenting lessons as a modern management system, it uses the voice of parental instruction. This gives the material a dual function. On one level, the letters discuss work, ambition, money, risk, and leadership. On another level, they model how a parent attempts to transmit judgment to a successor. The format makes the advice more personal than a conventional business manual because it assumes an ongoing relationship, not a one-time classroom lesson. It also explains why the book often moves between practical counsel and moral reflection. Rockefeller is presented as addressing a son who may inherit influence, wealth, and public scrutiny, so the advice must shape temperament as well as technique. This structure gives the book much of its appeal. Readers encounter principles through a family lens, where mistakes are not merely operational failures but possible weaknesses in judgment and character. The limitation is that the format can feel uneven. Some letters function as memorable maxims, while others are closer to general exhortation. Even so, the personal mode helps connect economic behavior with generational responsibility. Lastly, the book invites reflection on ambition without resolving Rockefeller-era controversy, because Rockefeller is one of the most contested figures in American business history. The book cannot be read as neutral wisdom detached from context. Standard Oil became a symbol of scale, efficiency, monopoly power, aggressive competition, and later antitrust scrutiny. The letters, as presented, emphasize integrity, diligence, prudence, and generosity, but readers should hold those ideals alongside the historical debate over Rockefeller business methods. This tension is one reason the book is interesting. It shows how a powerful industrialist wanted achievement to be understood through principles of character, while history also remembers the harsh competitive environment in which that achievement occurred. The book does not provide a complete account of Standard Oil or a balanced biography, and it should not be used as a substitute for historical study. Its value is narrower. It reveals a set of attributed beliefs about how ambition should be disciplined and justified. For critical readers, the most useful approach is neither simple admiration nor dismissal. The letters can be studied as success philosophy, family instruction, and legacy construction at the same time. In conclusion, this book is best suited to readers who want compact reflections on business conduct, personal discipline, strategic judgment, and the responsibilities of wealth. Entrepreneurs and managers may find practical value in its emphasis on flexible strategy, option creation, and calm adaptation when circumstances change. Readers interested in family enterprise, inheritance, or legacy planning may find the stewardship themes especially relevant. Because the book treats wealth transfer as a moral and educational problem, rather than only a financial one, it can also benefit readers who enjoy older success literature, where achievement is linked to habits, reputation, thrift, and self-command. Compared with modern business books, it stands out because it is not organized around a branded framework, research model, or step-by-step system. Its appeal comes from the intimate advisory form and from the historical weight of the Rockefeller name. At the same time, readers should recognize its limits. It is not a full biography, an academic source on Standard Oil, or a complete theory of leadership. Its strongest use is as a reflective companion to more rigorous business history and strategy reading. What differentiates it from similar self-improvement books is the combination of paternal counsel, industrial-era ambition, wealth stewardship, and the unresolved tension between moral ideals and hard competitive capitalism. If you would like to support GGG, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.